Welcome to Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP, the podcast where we spill all the tea, from discussing the latest trends in pop culture to delving into the depths of therapy. We're here to demystify it all. I'm Adrienne McCollum-Smith.
And I'm Pamela Tippett. Together, we're your hosts on this journey through the world of media, lifestyle, and therapy. Whether you're sipping sweet tea or seeking solace, we've got you covered. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and join us as we navigate the intersections of therapy and everyday life.
Subscribe, listen, and let's dive into the conversations that matter.
Today we have a little bit of a plan.
Yeah.
So as always, we're going to start with our tea segment. And we thought it might kind of be fun to do our version of Black Card Revoked. Kind of tell me a little again, tell me again what your thoughts were about doing this today.
Black Card. Well, we talk all the time about our experiences being rather unique as Black girls, Black women who grew up in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people try to take my card, you know.
Why?
Quite a bit. So I don't even know. How did we even get here? Okay, so last week we were talking about just things that we didn't know about each other. And one of the things that I learned about you is that, well, no, I already knew about you that you were a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you mentioned dancing at a professional football game or something like that. And I was saying that was one thing I knew about you. And one of my things that I think will get my Black Card revoked is I don't really have the rhythm.
Mm.
I can't dance, but I need to quit saying like, I can't dance. I think I just never learned. Like, no one ever took the time to like show me. And I didn't see it until like 10 or 11. I didn't see any dancing other than square dancing that was in a play I did in elementary school. And then back then where I grew up, flogging was a thing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. And that's kind of like it looks like tap dancing to me, and I don't know
if it's tap dance.
So they, you know, we had little groups that did that. I never got involved in it, but I did not start seeing like hip hop dance until like 11 years old, maybe around like the Hot Boys era, and I didn't ever see spaces where I could even learn. So that's one of my things that I think could get my Black card revoked.
Okay. I'm going to say this about dance. I feel like there's probably a lot of Black people that cannot dance, but I think, I don't know. I think it's just always assumed that all of us can. So a lot of the times we're not called to task on proving it. But the reason I say a lot of Black people probably can't dance, because like, to me, like doing it in a way, like the technical stuff, like hip hop dance or tap or ballet or modern or those kind of things, a lot of, unless you've been trained and you've been to classes and things, you probably can't do that. You might be able to shake your ass out on the dance floor though.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's not necessarily that you can't dance, but maybe a lot of people who haven't been trained professionally
mm-hmm.
can't dance, but they actually could. They could get out on the dance floor and they could catch a beat. Are you telling me you can't catch a beat?
Here's what I think my real problem is. My real problem is I worry about what I look like. Mm-hmm. I can't just relax and let loose and feel the music without concern that I look stupid.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably, you probably could dance if you would, kind of let yourself just relax and move. And I don't think it's that people can't dance. I do think that that's a very valid point, that some people are self-conscious about mm-hmm. moving. And I think my big thing always is when I would teach people choreography or do things like that, it would really annoy me when people would want to know what the counts were. I'm like, there's a song playing, like we're actually dancing to that music. And I'm like, if you're counting, it's kind of, you could kind of see it in the person's movement. It doesn't look like they're moving to the music. You could tell that they're counting. So it really pissed me off when people would ask what the counts were. I could tell you the counts, but I would prefer that you like listen to the music and try to, match the choreography up with the song, and I give them cues to that. But that actually would kind of get on my nerves. But I think just being able to allow, because honestly, nobody's looking at you unless you're doing a performance. Like if you're on a stage or something, yeah, then people are looking at you. But if you're just out on a dance floor, like,
Well, I believe that. I really don't think people care that much. And I don't think people are really critiquing, like, oh, she off beat for real. But it's just, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because I'm not a twerker. I think that that's.
we need to go to improv dance class. I think that is so fun.
I cringe at the thought of it. Because look, okay, so I've done one-to-one yoga, and the instructor was trying to get me to just make silly movements, and I could not do it. There's some kind of blockage that I really want to explore, but I'm kind of scared. So there's my one.
Okay, well, you gave one. I'm going to give my one. And mine is that I don't like wings. Now, I'm a very picky eater, always have been. But once I got pregnant, like I had some really bad experiences with wings. And another time when I had drank something. And after two bad experiences, I was just like, no, I really don't like them anyway. So I haven't had any wings. What year is it?
24.
I haven't had any wings since 1997.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't like them. I don't want them. And people are usually surprised about that, but I don't care. I'm not eating it. You're not gonna, no matter what you give me, seasoning you put on it, I'm not eating it. But I'm like that with a whole lot of things. I'm picky about the texture of food. I'm picky about just a bunch of things about food, and this is one of them. So if y'all gonna take the black card over that, you can have it. I don't care.
Yeah, I've got foods that I won't eat either. That's actually one of mine too. So wow, 97. That's a long time.
Yes, I meant
Wow,
it.
okay.
I meant it.
So just to be clear, the black card is kind of like a metaphor for what is expected of those of us who belong to the African American or black communities. And it's like this perception of what it is to be authentically black and credible as a black person, within the community. One of my others is the way that I sound over the phone, whatever, people can think, oh, you don't talk. I've been told I don't talk black. And that started early in my life. Like early childhood. So yeah, it's just this, people, if they feel like that, who how you identify, what you like, what you eat, in some way, if it's not the norm within that community, the staples, if you will, that it's as if you're betraying the entire community. And so now let me snatch your access, so to speak. But it's more fun in real life, but essentially that's what it means to have your black card revoked.
Yeah, thank you for giving our listeners who might not have been aware of that some more clarity. There's actually the game. I've played the game before. Have you played the Black Card Revoked game?
I wouldn't dare.
You
I can't.
probably would do better than what you think. Here's where you would probably lose. And I think it's not your black card, but I feel like it's It's more about your
Age.
age,
Yeah.
exactly. It's more of an age thing. So, because I played with, like my mom and my husband who are like in a different generation, and it's definitely a generational thing.
I can see that. I've heard of it, and it probably is really fun.
It is. You should play like the next time. Oh, we should play when we see each other
June.
in June. So
That'll be fun.
I think we should. Oh, my second one too is the voice thing. The way I sound. That's always been a thing. You don't sound black. I don't know. Well, I know what people mean by that, and there's an expectation of how you should sound if you're black. But if you're listening here, you hear how we sound, and we're both black. So I don't know. And there's even black scent and things like that, and you're supposed to have it if you're black, and I don't have it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's tied into another one, but go ahead for me.
Yeah, the your the certain sound and what'd you call it? Black what?
Black scent.
Black scent. Is that like Ebonics?
It's a little different than Ebonics. I don't even want to do it on this recording, but it's kind of like I can't. I just wish I could show you a clip, but it's a tone and it's an inflection. It's an accent. Whereas Ebonics are grammar and
Right.
particular, vocabulary. Black scent is an accent. Like some people might have a French accent, or some people have a Southern accent. Some people say that black people have an accent.
Okay.
I didn't make it up. I'm just sharing the information. So, and I know what people mean because I know some people that I feel embody black scent. They have it. I do not.
Yeah.
I think I told you in another recording that, and this might be another one that is, black card revoked or not typical. I'll say I went to 9 years of Catholic school, and everybody on my dad's side of the family is Catholic school educated, pretty much all the way from K all the way through high school. So when I was in kindergarten, I still remember this. Our teacher wouldn't even let us say things like, I'm going to cut off the light. She would be like, are you going to get your scissors and cut it? Or are you
Oh.
going to turn it off? Which are you going to do? So she started teaching us like then to not do that. And even things like you might say to somebody, I want to go with you. But a lot of people say, I'm going with you.
Yeah, that's how I would say it if I'm comfortable.
And I will say it like that too. But when I was in school, she wouldn't let you say like, chew, I'm going with you. You would have to say, I'm going with you. So I think even coming through that and that kind of played a little bit of a role into it. So that is my third thing, along with the tone and the sound. Like I don't speak in black scent. Also being what they call a cradle Catholic and being Catholic school educated for so many years in Alabama, a lot of people are like, how are you black and Catholic? How is that? How did that even happen? I was like, I was just kind of born into it.
Yeah. That's a topic too for another episode. I have a very interesting ancestral background.
Okay, we can talk about it.
And I was actually reading up on some of it today and realized that my family's slave owners, they were Church of Christ, which is what my family
Wow.
practices.
It's amazing how long that goes on, right?
Yeah, and I would wonder about your ancestors, and you may have a very similar lineage to my own, and being both the descendant of the slave master and the slave is interesting when you start to piece it all together.
It is very interesting. And if you're feeling frisky, I wonder if one time we should do like both of us do. I'm afraid, honestly, to do that 23andMe stuff because I've had people in therapy after they got their results.
I did it. I've
You did.
done it.
I have. Okay. So we should, I should probably do it and we should compare like and talk
Definitely.
about it. But yeah, it's really weird that as African American people, Black people in the South, that everybody on one side is Catholic because that is just not typical. But my family isn't originally from Alabama. Well, some are, but we didn't. I ended up being born here, but we come from my other people come from somewhere else. And where
Okay.
we come from, Black people, there's everybody is Catholic, and you go to Catholic school, even when you're Black. And that's a little bit different than what happens here in Alabama. So that is something we could talk about.
Yeah, I can't wait. Okay, so is it on me or you to go next about a black card? We're doing five, right?
Yes, I did the Catholic thing, the cradle Catholic thing in the voice as well. So I've done three. So you give me, I think you can go ahead and do one.
So I haven't seen a lot of the black classic movies like Menace to Society. I have not, I didn't watch The Five Heartbeats. I haven't seen Crooklyn. I watched Juice just since I've been just in the last like 7 years, and also Boys in the Hood. But a lot of the really popular, well-known, frequently referenced movies, nah, I haven't seen it. Get my black card.
No, I would say I've seen some of them, and that this may be a generational thing as well,
I
possibly,
think it could be.
because a lot of those came out probably when you were very, very, very young,
Yep.
and you were just too young to watch them. You know what I'm saying?
They
So
weren't appropriate.
yeah, they're not appropriate for young children. And I think even like with the like Juice and Boys in the Hood, like I was a teenager, so I got to see those like as a teenager, you go see, but I'm like you, like some of the older ones I haven't seen either. And I think it's just when they come out and they're super popular, you're just kind of, too young, they're inappropriate for you, and you don't ever go back and watch them. And then like some people's families will pull it out and you'll watch, and that's my parents weren't really into that those kind of
Yeah,
movies either.
right.
So if I was going to watch it, I would have to take it upon myself to go watch it later as an adult. So I'm in the same boat. The ones I've seen Juice and I've seen Above the Rim, Juice and Boys in the Hood, but that's because I was like a teenager, like when those things were out. So, but some of the other ones you mentioned, I haven't seen
Yeah.
them either. So,
I think you're right, because the one of my other one is other ones is kind of similar, like, and I think it's also generational. I just learned that Charlie Wilson was a member of the Gap Band. I thought he was like a new artist when I was
oh,
like,
wow.
you know, whenever he came up, "Hey girl, my name is Charlie." I thought he was new. I thought he was introducing himself to the world for the first time.
No, I knew because my mom used to love to listen to the Gap Band. Okay, so when I was a little girl, we had a record player and she would listen to it. So I knew about the Gap Band from parents, but again, I'm like a generation removed, and like if your mama didn't listen to the Gap Band or anything, like, and when he came back out, I'm like, he sounds familiar. And then somebody's like, oh, that's a guy from the Gap Band. I'm like, oh, okay. So I was able to put it together like that. But I do believe some of this is not a black card thing. I think it might be a generational thing. To put it into perspective, have you heard of Milli Vanilli?
I have heard of them, yes.
Okay. And you know, they were lips, they got caught for the lip syncing thing, or did you not know about that?
I vaguely, very vaguely.
Okay, so my daughter's like, who are they? What are they? What is this about? I don't know. Like, who they are. Of course, you don't know. So I kind of showed her, like every time I do that, I will show her things and introduce her to things. And she'd be like, oh, okay. Oh, that's where that came from. Or that's where that came from. It's sometimes I think it's on a black card thing, but it may be a generational thing. But Milli Vanilli was, there were these other people actually singing the songs, but those two guys were just the front because they were more aesthetically pleasing. So they used other people's voices because they were older, were not fit. They had those people singing back, singing in the studio, and then just put these two in the front, but then it got exposed. And then it was just this big scandal back then. And then sadly, one of them, died by suicide due to being exposed. So you should go check it out. But I was telling my daughter that, but she didn't know. Like, how would you know about the Gap Band? Like,
Right, but people act like I'm supposed to know these things.
no, you're not. No, you're not. Because, I mean, how could you? How old were you when they came out? Like,
Well, the other piece that I think is really important to mention is that my mother is only 15 years older than me.
okay. So even for her, like, she probably wasn't listening to the Gap, not listening to the Gap Band like that. Maybe she was, but
No, she was listening to Brian McKnight, Escape,
see, and that's.
SWV.
And see, Gap Band is like, I just told you my mom was listening to that. My mom is in her 70s. So, like, I
Yeah.
think it's a black card thing with that one. Maybe a generational thing, because if it was before your time, it was just before your time, black or not.
Well, thank you for giving me so much grace.
That's something too, I think sometimes within the culture, we could be hard on each other sometimes. We could be hard on each other. And with the music thing set, I listen to classical music. I like it. I like it. It's just something about it that I feel is very underappreciated, and I really enjoy listening to it when I'm by myself, because if I'm with somebody, nobody else has tolerance for it. So
Oh, really? I would
My
listen to
dad
classical.
introduced me to that.
Yeah, it's so soothing. Relaxing. It's like sometimes you need just a little something, but you really don't need words, just something that can kind of cool your spirit. And I feel like that's what classical music does.
I absolutely love, love, love it. And I think I got a greater appreciation of it through ballet, because that's usually a lot of what they use, and sometimes not. But I took ballet for a lot of years, even went to Point Ballet, and that is what was a big part of it. So that's a little bit different. I don't know if that's a black card revoked thing, but yeah, most people don't
Could be.
listen. Yeah, I think that one definitely could be.
I'm like, what? You listen to classical music?
I know.
Was that five?
I think it might have been four or five, but I got a couple more. You go ahead and give us a couple.
I just have one more, which is I don't eat collard greens, I don't eat neck bones, and I don't eat hot sauce.
Okay, I could feel that. I don't eat neck bone or anything. I like all kinds of greens, though. I like all kinds, but I neck bone or whatever that is, I don't even really know what is that. I don't eat that, and I don't really like hot sauce on things either. I don't.
I don't like spicy food at all, but hot sauce, black people act like you gotta have it, for chicken and pork chops and stuff. I don't.
No. And I think to me, and this is something where a lot of black people are surprised, I don't like my food like seasoned, like with a bunch of stuff, like stuff on it.
Got it. Yeah, the whole cabinet on the meat.
It's too much. Like, I don't like it. I don't know. I really don't have too many others. Just like, I can swim and swim pretty well.
Me
I
too.
don't. So, but I feel like now, like from my generation up, our parents really wanted, they didn't want you to be that black person who didn't know. So I feel like more and more black people now know how to swim. So, that's really, I think The only few I have. I think I gave
Okay.
five.
Well, this was fun talking about potentially getting our black cards revoked, but I never give mine up because can't nobody tell me who I am. And I very much live a black woman's experience, okay?
I think that is, I don't like the supposed to's and shoulds
Yeah.
about my existence as a black woman. Like, these things don't make me black, you know. I think it's a collection of experiences and things like that, and none of these random things make you black or not. But I do think if you've done a 23andMe, now I'm interested to do it. My sister's always said she wanted to do it, but I'm like, you know, that once you turn in your stuff, it's like in a public database. So that kind of freaked me out a little bit, but that may be something for maybe another season. So looking
Yeah,
forward
that'll be
to
fun.
diving into that with you eventually one day. So we've come to the Hot Mess Express segment, and this was inspired by a few texts that we've received this week from some of our fellow Thera sisters and Thera
Yes.
friends. So you want to just kind of unpack it for our listeners real quick?
Absolutely. You want to talk about the text that we got? We received a group text, and honestly, I think I've gotten maybe two check-ins, but I know we were both on one together.
I think I was
So,
on two. I've gotten two
okay, so
check-ins.
we may have been on the same ones, and people are concerned. Why are they so concerned about us down here in good old sweet home Alabama?
They don't know what we've become accustomed to. So just to let listeners know, it's about the end of DEI in the state of Alabama in our schools, and also it's in schools and where else? At work,
In
is
the
it on
workplace, a lot of colleges, universities, educational programs, are no longer. What I read from CNN was that the state prohibits public schools and universities from maintaining or funding DEI programs, which stands for diversity, equity, or and inclusion.
Correct.
And so, for a lot of colleges, universities, and workplaces, there have been programs like affirmative action and programs put in place specifically to help people who are members of marginalized communities, ethnic minorities, people with disabilities. And those who are a part of the LGBTQIA plus communities. And so these programs would allow there to be like an intentional effort to get diversity on the staff and among the student body, which I've always seen as a strength. But on Wednesday, our Governor Kay Ivey signed a law, or signed this law. Well, how do you say it? That signed the law, to pa pass the law,
Passed a law.
passed the bill, a bill passed to become the law,
Law.
right?
Yes,
To
correct.
prohibit this. And so, what this is going to do is it's going to leave a lot of people behind in terms of education, employment, and things like that. And I feel like they're trying to just throw around LGBTQIA plus stuff so that people will vote for this, or so that people would vote for this, because people down here are not as open and don't want their children exposed to certain things and things such as public bathrooms and gender identity issues and being inclusive for all. Alabamians are very, very conservative and just not here for it. So, and I guess I'll let you talk about the text messages we received. And I would like to hear from you what were your thoughts? Because I struggled with a res to develop a response that I thought would be appropriate and honest. What did you, what did we, what happened, and what did you think?
Well, The initial text in one of the threads was, heard about what happened with DEI. How are y'all doing? What do y'all think? And that was the gist of it. And honestly, I was very touched that they reached out to us. But at the same time, I have no thoughts because, like, I'm in Alabama and this is just kind of, I wasn't surprised at any of it. I didn't. And honestly, they're doing this, but my experience has been like, we've been doing things are like this with or without the law. You know, yes, they're supposed to do things, yes, but there's all kinds of workarounds. So even without this being passed, there were still things that weren't happening, don't happen. You know, we are notoriously the last to pick up new ideas and new things, and that's just a part of our state history. So, are we okay? Yeah, because when you live in this region, these are the things that are a part of it. So, here's my surprise face.
You're not surprised
No.
at all. You look very like it's just a regular Friday.
And it is. And it is. And I know other people, and I think people from other places are like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is happening. How are they going to change this? I mean, how can they make this change? But I think change, it's not really, it's now, yes, a law. It's going to become a law, but is it a change for real?
Well, I think it there may not be a noticeable change for us, but I do worry about my child, my children. You know, he's got to get in school somewhere, maybe if that's the path that he chooses. And I do wonder, you know, what it's going to look like. I think Alabama has always been very clear about our place here, and I think that as a state, we're shooting ourselves in the foot in this way because what does this mean for our state as a whole if we're not all well educated and have access to quality employment and education? You know, there is definitely a larger play being made that I think.
Limited access because access to these resources limits those people who have limited. I can see where it could really affect those coming up, coming through. And I think, yes, it will affect it. But again, I was like, I feel like even without this, we were already, I mean, I feel that there was already this effect has always been just kind of there. It's like a shadow that's always just kind of already there because I don't know if I'm explaining that right or not, but.
It's kind of like, you know, it's a culture.
Okay, that I think that puts a word on it. Yeah.
That's the culture here, is that there is a separation. It's not legally segregated, but
But it
it's
is.
segregated. It's segregated. And I think it's just going to be interesting to see what the just how, you know, the mayor of Birmingham kind of called the athletes to the carpet to say, hey, take your talents to states that are not supporting this.
I'm so glad you said that because I think it's funny that this is going on, but of course, some of our D1 schools and things are full of, you know, people of color really who make up the bulk of these very elite programs and things like that. And yes, Alabama has a great football program and a lot of our D1 schools, very elite programs, but those are made up, you know.
Of us.
Yeah, it is.
And see that those people will be allowed in because they can make money off of them. It's another, I may be, it may be a stretch to say modern day slavery. You know, I can make money off of these kiddos, millions.
And I think that goes back to something that's long been going on. I feel like in the majority culture, like if you were a person that a black person and you had a talent, like you can sing or play a sport really well, you were used, dare
Accepted.
I dare, you were used for those
Yeah.
things because the larger culture could receive something off of those skills and talents. But if you're just your average black person or marginalized person, that you those people are the ones I think I worry more a little bit more about rather than the people who are the elite athletes, because as you said, spots will be made for them. I guess everybody's getting what they want in that scenario possibly, so I'm not as worried about that. It's the people who might not be an elite athlete or have any other special skill, just a regular average person. What how's this going to shake out for them? How's this going to shake out for them? But Adrian, honestly, I want to sit here and say, I wonder how much different it actually will be. I'm interested to see how different it will be with this law in place versus just how things were before it, because we, like you said, it's a very conservative culture, very, there's already a lot of things that we just don't embrace down here anyway. So I'm wondering, I would love, I wonder what the compare and contrast will be like once all this really shakes out. So
I think so too. I what could we hope for?
that we don't completely, as a state, become like the poster children for the state that's always riding the hot mess express when it comes to these type of issues.
Amen.
I
Yeah.
just.
I never expected it to pass. I think, while others were maybe hopeful and watching and thinking surely they're not going to get away with this, like I always knew that it would pass.
I did too.
But I think that for me, when I saw those messages, I felt like I needed to say something super powerful and have, I feel like maybe there's an expectation that we would be boots on the ground trying to resist this from happening and advocating. And I've done that. I shared with you a little
Yeah, you
bit
have. Yeah.
last episode that I've done some advocacy type work, and it really was not good for my mental health. It just was not, it was not good. Of course, I was still in college at that time, and I've matured a lot and have grown personally, but that work is just, I can't do it. I can vote and I can try to stay politically aware. I recently, participated in a campaign for a black judge who's also my sorority sister. So I try to be politically involved where I can and where I think it does make a difference. But I don't know about where I am in this season of my life going up against any type of machine. I'm just not interested.
That really resonated with me. I think in the work that we do, being therapists, there's so much that we have to care about with our communities, with the people we serve, so many causes that we consciously or unconsciously take up just through the work that we do, period. To me, to add on something like this, and I now, and even talking about this here, there was a part of me that kind of was wavering on it because, look, I don't want to hear nobody come for me. I don't care, like what, how you believe, because honestly, people might not like that I say this, but one of my new mottos in this season of my life is I cannot care about everything. The work that what we do day to day requires us to care a lot about a lot of different things and a lot of different topics. And you said it best. It's like, to me now in this part of my life, I think to myself, it's like, can I change minds and hearts with anything that by anything that I can do? And if I discern that the answer is no, I cannot, it moves to the back, what I say, like kind of to the back of my brain, to like it's put on the back burner. And I'm not going to say that necessarily that this is one of those things, but as you are, I stay aware, I vote, And that is where I will be regarding these particular issues. But honestly, I just can't get all my emotions wrapped up in something that, like you said, it's a machine. It's a big, big, big thing.
Powerful machine, yeah.
And I have no desire at this point in my life to, be on any type of front line, but I will stay aware and I will, work where I can to support causes and individuals that are near and dear to me. And that's all I'm willing to do. So even talking about it sometimes, I'm gonna be very, even on topics like this, I'm nervous nowadays because you talk about something and you're sharing your thoughts and opinions, and people are like, you should think this, you shouldn't think that, this is bad, this is not okay. Like, I don't
Yeah.
even want, I don't, no, I don't want none of that. I'm not here for anybody's smoke. I'm just one lowly therapist doing my job. And no, I will not care about everything. Yes, I have my own opinions. This is not something I'm trying to really take up at all.
It is sad, and like you, I was very touched and grateful that they thought about us. And not just thought about us, but said, "Hey, are y'all okay?" And honestly, I didn't think much about it until I got those texts. It was just kind of like, for real, another day. And then once I got the second message, I'm like, okay, the world is watching, and they're saying do something, but there's only so many of us. And so what I think, for me personally, that I would like to see, and I may get canceled for this, but I'm nobody to cancel really, so y'all can have it. But I think we need to go back to creating our own spaces. We have two HBCUs in Alabama, and maybe if we could all, and this is also something I'm reluctant to say as a graduate of the University of Alabama, which is a PWI. But, maybe that is what it takes, is that we go back to HBCUs and we create businesses that employ our own and better schools. But those are all wonderful ideas. It would take a lot to get everybody, our community, on the same page and willing to make the necessary sacrifices for that to happen. I hope I'm wrong about that, but with that, white people need to stay out of our business and quit burning our shit down every time we try to rebuild and sustain ourselves. How about that?
Wow, you said a mouthful there, friend. You said a mouthful there. I like that you just shared your thoughts on that. I don't know. I don't really know if that is the, I don't know honestly what is the answer, because I feel like either way, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Just with what you just said at the end, like you created, it's destroyed. Or
Yeah.
it's there, but it's subpar, or the it's not the best, that it's
Yeah.
not really giving what it needs to give. Like if we do have those spaces, and then we have our own issues within the culture, it's like either way there's major cons. It's like, so I honestly, even with what you said, I don't know that I necessarily agree, because we've tried a few things
Yeah.
already and we are still here. So it's super frustrating for me to sit here and say, what is the answer? I don't really know that I feel like I know, but it seems like like talking about making it happen, finding a unicorn almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 'cause even if we could find the perfect answer, how do you get everybody on board?
There you go.
Yeah.
I just, and that's why I feel like I don't, it just seems like a pie in the sky thing for there to be an answer in
Yeah.
this country, period.
Yeah, the government is a joke. It's a popularity contest, and it's, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And I don't think it's a really about us for real. It's
No.
about the few that are up at the top. And maybe I'm just being very cynical right now. I don't know, but that's the space that I'm in this week, and I'm hoping to bounce back and have another type of energy because.
I feel you. It's easy to kind of get into like the effort type of thing. It's just, but I feel like I've had some clients. I had a client come in and talk about this week and just the despair that she was feeling, kind of like there's nothing, what is there to be done? And when you come to the point where like there's nothing I can feasibly do to address this, and I'm going to feel this way about this, it's like, for me, this sounds really kind of just cliche, but how are you showing up in your world to be the best version that you can for your community, for your people, and focusing on the things that you have control over? We vote, we stay aware, you know, what else is there that you can do? And I tell people who are really, really passionate who come in and talk about those things, advocacy is an issue. But I'm gonna sit here and say that most people like look at me like, girl, you know, because it is a big thing to emotionally and mentally to put yourself out here in these days and time. You're taking on a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of work that would go into that, and I don't have the capacity.
I don't either.
Yes.
So I don't know if that makes us a part of the Hot Mess Express ride because we're like, no, but I feel like it reminds me of this song, and you probably don't know it, but there's a song called We Didn't Start the Fire, and it talks about all of the significant events that have happened, all the Hot Mess Express rides in this country and in our popular culture. And the song basis of the song is like, it didn't start with us. And it ain't gonna end in us. It end with us, and the fire just keeps on burning and burning because the world keeps turning. And I kind of feel like we are forever on the Hot Mess Express, and that's just what it is.
All right. I love that. That was good. That was
You
a
have
good
to
little Andy.
listen to that song.
That was the name of it again. The world is on fire.
We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy
We
Joel.
didn't start the fire. We didn't start the fire. Okay.
By Billy Joel. And that might be another thing that might get my black card revoked because it is not a black song. It's
Oh,
not.
I listened to Buckle Bunny by Tanner.
Tanner Adele.
Yeah. And it was good. I've listened to it a few more times since then. It's in my library. It was a good recommendation.
You should listen to some of her other songs. She is fabulous.
I think I will, because right after that, or a few weeks after that, I saw somebody else post about her, a black man post about her music and how good it was. And I was like, I'm gonna check out some more of her stuff.
You really should. There's not many things that I think you'll like most of her stuff. I don't
Okay.
think there's anything that you'd be like, I think you'll enjoy most of her music. So that might be another thing that has our black heart in question. But you know what? We've already determined it's okay. We determine our experience as black women. So folks, I hope you enjoyed us today. I hope you enjoyed learning about Black Card Revoked, what it's all about, and let us know if you think, what do you think about Black Card Revoked and these things that are supposed to define our Black experience? Let us know. Reach out to us on IG, and I'm going to let my fabulous co-host Adrian tell you where you could do that because I never remember.
Okay, you can find us and follow us. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram, and it is spelled out Sweet Tea and Therapy.
All
And you
right,
can email
folks.
us if you want to. It is AMP at sweetteaandtherapy.com.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you. And for all the listeners, go visit us on social media, drop us a line, and tell us if you have any black card revoked moments, what you think about DEI topics or anything else. We would love to hear from you. And until next time, my friend.
Keep sipping on that sweet tea and therapy.
Keep it sweet, y'all. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP.
We hope you enjoy diving into the behind-the-scenes world of therapy and everything in between with us.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and join us next time for more candid conversations and a fresh brew of tea.
Until then, take care, be kind to yourselves, and keep sipping on that
sweet tea.